Welcome. My name is Cheryl. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Cheryl.
And you are on, you were at the maintenance at all three levels, part of our day. Is that what it's called?
Yes,
maintenance on all three levels. Before we begin, I will read the CEA Howe Statement of Anonymity, which I'm sure you've heard already today, and you'll hear it again. There may be some here who are not familiar with our tradition of personal anonymity at the public level. Tradition 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and other public media of communication. Thus, we respectfully ask that CEA House speakers and members not be photographed, videotaped, or identified by full name on audio recordings or in published or broadcast reports or meetings, including those on the internet. The assurance of anonymity is essential to our effort to help other compulsive eaters who may wish to share our recovery program with us. And our tradition of anonymity reminds us that CEA Howe principles come before personalities. A further note about anonymity. Out of respect for others, please do not take photographs during any of the events at the Global Convention. Also, be considerate when taking photographs around convention venues. Take care that you do not capture images of CEA Howe members, family members, and friends who did not give permission and may not wish to appear in your pictures. Please do not post recognizable photos of identifiable CEA Howe members on websites accessible to the public, including unrestricted pages on social networking sites. In other words, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. We thank you for your cooperation and our observance of our tradition of anonymity.
Thank you, Sharon. Hi, I'm Lorraine, compulsive eater. As you know, that this maintenance workshop is on the physical, emotional, and spiritual levels of maintenance, and we're each here to speak about each of those issues. And I am speaking on the food part, the physical maintenance, and I have to stand up. You'll have to forgive me. I can't sit. One thing that we have with the gray book is the section in here on maintenance. And when I first joined the program, we didn't have everything in just one booklet yet. But when I joined the program, my first sponsor said, take the gray book home, read it from cover to cover, and then call me. And she gave me the basic food plan to get me started so that I could leave the meeting and go home and do that. And I think her having me read the book from cover to cover before I did anything else was brilliant. Because I am one of those people that will ask the questions way before I even know what I'm talking about. And she didn't want me to ask a couple of questions until I at least read what CEA Howe was all about. I did not know what CEA Howe was all about. I didn't know about the food plan. I did not know that she was going to tell me exactly what to eat, how much to eat, and when to eat it. And so I took the book home, and I read it from cover to cover. And like I said, it was the format was a little bit different. And so I knew to do my 30 days, etc. I remember all through my weight loss and all through my journey to abstinence, I kept taking a peek at the maintenance. I was still in the physical piece. I wasn't in the serenity or the emotional and spiritual growth. So I wasn't looking at, oh, maintenance will be good. I was looking at, look what I get. This is what I get on maintenance. How exciting is this going to be? And I mentioned that to her, and she says, yeah, we'll talk about that later. And it was just like, eh, whatever, you know. She downplayed it for my sake. And as I was growing in the program, this became less important to me. I didn't care about maintenance anymore. I cared about today. I cared about the food, my program, my questions, my sponsor, my outreach calls, and I jumped from it's all about the food, too. That's one piece of the program, just one little piece of the program. And I'm grateful for that mind shift, because one of the biggest reasons I failed in all of the programs that I tried to do and paid dearly for, as soon as I got to what I considered the weight I wanted to be, I stopped because I was cured. You know, I was good now. And then I went, and I went for a couple of days trying to stay nice, and then I went and I ate everything that did not eat me first. I can remember putting a list of the places I'm going to go now because I couldn't do it anymore, you know. The beauty of our program is that it makes you go through it one step at a time, one day at a time, and that need to have whatever emptiness I had with whatever the food was I had to give up, that need to make sure I could get to that again was gone. And when it was finally time for me to think about what my maintenance weight should even be, you know, I consulted with my doctor and I reported it to my sponsor, and my sponsor says, that's fine. But she said, your body is going to tell you what your maintenance weight is. You will know when it's time. And I thought, how in the world can that happen? You know, I thought, no, I am so obsessed with what I should look like or how much I should, how could my body talk to me? It's lied to me for 50-some years, you know. She says, don't worry, have some faith. And it was only through working the 12 steps and really growing through it could I have that faith to do that. I am 15 pounds lighter than what my doctor thought I should be. And I'm really glad that I paid attention to my doctor. I'm really glad that I paid attention to my sponsor. But in the final outcome, it's my higher power that told my body exactly what I should be. And when I go the 3 pounds over my weight, I don't feel good. I don't feel good. And I'm grateful that my sponsor tells me, okay, you know what we need to do, right? Oh, yeah, all right, okay. Someone told me once, don't get too fond of your food because it might not be yours tomorrow. Our program is a program of surrender, and even when you reach your maintenance weight, you are still surrendering every single day, every single meal. And recently this winter, I did gain some weight. My food didn't change. I mean, it's the same food I've been doing now for about the 8 years of my maintenance weight. And, you know, I'm telling my sponsor, I'm saying, you know, I promise, I am weighing, I am measuring, I am really, honest to goodness, I'm not cheating, you know. She goes, I know you're not. Then I said, oh, this is the cool part. I said, well, you know, I'm over 60, so you tend to gain some weight as you get older, right? She goes, where'd you hear that? She says, I weigh less now than I did when I was 50-something. I said, okay, fine, you know, all right. So she says, so what do you want to take away? And my disease, my little person in this head, it is shrinking. You know, it's taking 11 years. It's shrinking, but it's still very alive and well. My little person said, I don't want to take anything away, you know? And my godside said, okay. So I said, oh, I'll take away your fruit. And she says, that's good. Didn't lose those pounds. So she has me weigh every day. I mean, every week, like you're supposed to. On maintenance, you weigh once a week. So I weigh once a week, and I report it to her as soon as I give her my food. And I hadn't lost anything over 2 weeks. She says, all right, Lorraine, what do you want to take away? And my little creature said, no, you can't take away the food. So I said, okay, I'll take away a fat. So we decided when I was going to take away my fat. 2 more weeks went by. In maintenance, you don't make changes every other day. You give your body time. And 2 weeks is what the Gray Book recommends. So 2 weeks later, I still hadn't lost any weight. I'm thinking, this is not right. I weighed the same weight for 3 years in a row. The exact, to the 0.5. I'm not kidding. And my sponsor says, wow, you are so consistent. I said, yeah, I am. thank God. And here I'm, you know, doing this weight stuff, and all of a sudden I'm not losing weight. And I'm thinking, okay. So she says, what do you want to take away? I said, nothing. I'm already, okay. So I took away another one. I had a brief moment of not wanting to surrender. And then I had a huge God moment that said, this program is a program of surrender. And so I surrendered my food. I said, okay, this is fine, you know. So I wrote my new menus out, and I give it to her every day. And I have to be honest with you. Once in a blue moon, I'll miss what I had to give up. 90% of the time, I forget that I even had more. You know, I thought, okay, this is good. I'm fine. It had to come slowly for me. It had to come through the steps of keeping the surrender piece, because we have to surrender every single day. We're never cured. We are in recovery. There's no ED at it. And so I keep bringing my gray book out. I keep calling my sponsor, because I know the minute I think that I am recovered ED, I'm a dead man. And I know I'll fail, just like I did with the other things that I tried to do. Once I reach what I think is my goal and I think I'm done and I don't need to work it anymore, man, that's when I grew up to another 120, 220 some pounds, you know, and that's not me anymore. The book tells us when you get toward maintenance, you and your sponsor and your healthcare professional will determine when you've reached your healthy weight that you want to maintain as a way of life. At this point, a maintenance sponsor will guide you through the transition and continue to work with you using the CEA Health Food Plan. We all know in our program that we have specific times when our sponsors are the specific sponsors. When you became a food sponsor, you are now the expert for the 30 days, etc. A maintenance sponsor has to help you troubleshoot through things, okay? It's my food. I am not going to be as open-minded as I could be with my sponsor guiding me, you know? I think I'm honest. I think I'm open-minded, and I think I'm willing to do what it takes to do with the program. But if I go away from my sponsor, and if I don't pay attention to my daily living through my tools and my absence plan, then it's just like the other things I tried to do. I'm on my own. I'm going to be fine before I know it. I'm going to be 226 pounds again. That's not going to happen. It scares me to death. I'm not going to do that.
That's 10.
I have what?
That's 10 minutes.
Okay. So I should wrap it up really fast.
Well, take another 2 minutes.
Okay. All right. We have this wonderful book called Sponsoring in CEA How. It has a wonderful chapter on maintenance. Please read it. The gray book talks about maintenance. Please read it. But one of the points that we have, this isn't about the food. I'm not going to tell you what you should do. That's between you, your sponsor, and your God. So we're not going to answer food questions here for maintenance. What we want to answer for you is how we can grow through the program and what maintenance really means. You know, As you go through your educational process, the higher you go, the less you're supposed to know, the less you really know. The more I learn about something, the more I find out how much more there is to learn, and the less I know about it. And that's what this program is about. There's something new and to learn every day. There's more to give and surrender every single day. And the physical piece is a very important part when we first walk into the program, and is still an important part now. But what this program offers us is not the diet. It doesn't get us to our maintenance weight. It gets us to our maintenance thinking and our heart. And that's the rest of the maintenance that we're going to talk about today.
Hello, I'm Cheryl. I'm a compulsive eater. I want to just share a little bit about my qualifications. I actually came into HOW 25 years ago yesterday. So 25 years. Yes, thank you. I don't have 25 years of abstinence, but I have 25 years without sugar and flour. And I, thank you. Thank you. But I can prove to anyone who wants to hear my long, sad story that I'm a compulsive eater, because I can go out, I can gain weight, I can overeat on abstinent food. I can overeat food I don't like once it's in front of me. You know, so I now have 4 years and 10 months and a couple weeks of a recommitted abstinence. Thank you. And I have a 65-pound weight loss. I'm in maintenance. It's a struggle on the physical side. I'm so glad Lorraine brought some of those things up. As we get to be older women, it's, you know, there are some challenges. But what is really clear to me, thank you for nodding, what's really clear to me is that the emotional recovery I have gained is significant. And I'm going to give you one major example of how this program helped change my life. In my early youth years, I was a school teacher. And then at some point later on, I moved to LA, I went to law school, I became an attorney, and I worked for a big corporation. And I always said, well, especially the last 5 years of my being there, that someday I was going to save enough money to quit being a lawyer and go back to being a teacher, because that is so much more the more valuable profession to be in. But I have a disease of more, that there's never enough. So what's enough money, right? I mean, I don't know what would be enough money. But after 21 years with one company, in 2008, I was one of the 45 million Americans who got laid off from their jobs, who lost their jobs. And I just turned to program, because every character defect I had came to the front. I felt resentful, and I felt angry, and I felt hurt, and I felt personally insulted. Why was I the one to get laid off when that person over there doesn't work as hard as me, and he or she didn't get laid off, right? I mean, everything came out. And I truly went to program, got out of town, went to visit my family back in Massachusetts, did physical labor with my brother who was redoing an apartment, and thought about what program meant to me, what I'd been saying about what is enough, do I have enough, and the promise, which is not that economic insecurity will leave us. The promise isn't anything about that we're going to have money. The promise is that fear of economic insecurity will leave us. And I came back, and I was offered a law job, and I said, no, thank you. And I went to a school, and I said, I think I'd like to be a teacher here. And 2 days later, they said, can you start Monday? And I spent the next 8 years with a wonderful profession. I taught all girls high school, and had the opportunity every day to tell young women that they'd be okay when they grew up, because that's what I wish somebody had told me when I was 16 and 17 years old. At one point, about 5 years ago at school, I had been promised a particular advantage, and I was all excited about it. And I was at home one night, and I got an email from the school, and it listed someone else who was getting this little treat that I had been expecting. Mm-hmm. You remember this, right? Yeah, of course. What did I do? I sat down. I did not go into sulking. I did not go into resentment. Well, maybe I did for a little bit. But I started writing it down. And the next morning, I called up my sponsor and laid everything out. And I cried, and I said, I thought I was going to get this, and I'm not going to get this. And I cried, and I wrote it out, and I used all the serenity I could through the years of program. At that point, it was about 20 years of program. And I went into school the next day, and I saw the other teacher, and I said, hey, congratulations. I'm really happy for you. And I meant it. There was nothing hiding there. And then She said, "Oh, that was a mistake. It's you." Yeah, I know. I know. So I got the I got the gift that I wanted, plus the chance to work on it. Plus that opportunity for spiritual growth, which I really hate. No, I mean, which I really need. So I use the tools, but I know if this had happened to me 20 years ago when I was fairly new in program, because it took a while. What happened to me? I got into program, I got it right away, I got a sponsor right away, I lost weight, I was, you know, speaking, I was all involved with myself, you know, in terms of my recovery. And then I started to think I could do it myself. I was doing what the big book calls two-stepping, admitting I was powerless over food, and then telling everyone else about CEA how, but not going to meetings, not sponsoring, you know, the whole bit. And started gaining weight again, and finally, after fortunately never going back up to over 200, but you know, my weight was creeping back up, and finally came back. And when I came back, I had a huge revelation. And this, I think, is what the issue that what we get with long-term abstinence and with going through the maintenance question. I had believed that the goal was abstinence. And if I was abstinent, if I wasn't eating, then I was good. But what I realized when I came back was that I was wrong. That was totally wrong. Abstinence isn't the goal, never was the goal. The goal is a day-to-day reprieve from the disease of compulsive eating. Abstinence is one of the tools. It's the first tool, it's a necessary tool, but it's just a tool. But it took years for me to see that what my goal is that today I'm not eating. This meal, I'm not eating more than what I should be eating. And that's part of the emotional strength that I find after 25 years, after 4 years, 10 months, and 2 weeks of recommitted abstinence, after learning now that I call my sponsor every day, that I write and read every day, because the physical part helps me with the emotional part. I could go on about the spiritual, but that's somebody else. Mm-hmm. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll turn it over to David.
Thanks. I'm David. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, David.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to talk about the spiritual aspect of maintenance. And I thought a good way to start that is by having a little meditation. So I would invite you, and we're going to do 3 minutes of silent meditation. I would invite you to sit as comfortably as you can, but if you want to cross your legs, that's fine. Otherwise, feet flat on the floor works pretty well. Sitting straight up, because meditating and sleeping are different activities. Both, I think, are necessary. But for this exercise, we're going to do meditation. Now, if you are an experienced meditator, by all means, do your practice. Do what works for you. But I'm going to offer you something that's been very helpful for me, which is a loving kindness meditation. And the way that I have been taught to do this is to, with your eyes closed, visualize someone that you love or have complete positive regard for. Hold that person in your mind. Allow yourself to feel the love for this person all over your body. If a smile comes to your face naturally, allow it to be there. If tears come, let them flow. Feel the love that you feel for them. Now I'd like you to share this love, push it out to the other members in this room. Let that energy flow from you out towards your fellows here. Then to the other members who are here at convention, and then to everyone in your life. If you are doing this practice, and I'm going to start the timer in just a moment, if you are doing this and your attention wanders to something else, just return to the image of your loved one and reattach to the feelings that you feel. And I'm going to set a timer now. And that's 3 minutes. And now let me time myself for 10. So again, I'm David. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, David.
Thank you so much, universe and circumstance, for asking me to share on the spiritual aspects of maintenance. I wrote notes. Maybe I'll follow some of them. It's funny. I have asked my higher power at times for strength, and he has given me things to carry to make me stronger. So sometimes. When I've asked for a deeper awareness of my higher power, he gives me something that makes me run to him, which can be scary sometimes, at least scary ahead of it. Thank you to a friend who loaned me her big book I didn't come with. On page 25 of the big book, it says, "The great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude towards life, towards our fellows, and towards God's universe." And I would surely add my food, my weight, and what I think of my body. Those are obviously contained within either my life or the universe, but that is really the case. And right after the promises, which is the focus of this work, this whole convention, on page 85 and into action, it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol, or food in our case, is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. I came, I have 10 years and 21 days of back-to-back See How abstinence. Thanks. I maintain a 45-pound weight loss, food inventory step maintenance sponsor. I think I sponsor I sponsor seven, although one may have jumped ship since I went away for this event. And half are on maintenance, more than a little over half are on maintenance. I had the curse that many men have when they come to us. I was ready to start the maintenance process at day 63. So I achieved physical recovery in a big hurry, and I was still crazy on the inside. And spiritually, not bankrupt, because I had fresh, hot desperation driving me to do what I was told to do. And that has changed my life. So I would invite people who are working a long time to get to maintenance. I mean, and if you are sponsoring somebody who is working towards maintenance, that it is really a gift if you have some time to get there, rather than all of a sudden to be addressed with, oh, here's more food, you know. And then another from our literature, maintenance is troubleshooting, I'll paraphrase. If anyone can find it before the end of the workshop, 10 points for you. But maintenance is troubleshooting, and that's both physical, emotional, and spiritual. I've discovered that now that I have 10 years, I think for the first 8 years, pretty much reliably, the first 8 years of maintenance, pretty much reliably, every week when I got on the scale, my head would explode with fireworks, either hooray or I'm a house, I'm up a pound, I'm a house. Like, not a rational thought, but just the like, I think I had to get tired of that and just eventually let that wither on its own. Meditation and prayer helps with that. Doing the work that I did day one helps with that. Doing all of the seven tools to the best of my ability on a daily basis helps me to maintain my spiritual condition. Our program is different than many other 12-step programs where there are suggestions. But suggestion allows for choice, and I don't always do so well with choice. If told that I must keep anonymity at the level of social media, and that this is part of my practice, that while I enjoy congratulating people on their recovery, I need to keep their anonymity, and I need to do what I can to maintain my own anonymity at the level of press and the internet and all things. Sometimes I let my higher power use my mouth, and then I don't always remember what he said when he said that. So I try to take notes, and it sort of doesn't work. One thing that I heard that helps me is the same person who walks in the door eats. They are a compulsive eater. If they use the same skills at life, if they have the same attitude towards life, if they have the same view about their higher power, their history, everything, they will eat because that's who they are. All you have to do is become a different person. I believe that consistent use of the seven tools makes, I know it has made me a different person. It's made me a kinder person, a calmer person, a person who can look at food and not be obsessed. That was not who came to you. My experience in looking at others is that this happens for others too, that they become different people. And that's good. That's what needs to happen. I must grow my spiritual life, my spiritual understanding, my connection, or I'll leave. At a certain point within abstinence, after I had a pretty established concept of a higher power, it suddenly and quite dramatically stopped working. And that's 10, and I'll talk for another 2 minutes because I'm swell that way with myself. and I was invited to kill my higher power and get a new one, which is sort of a radical suggestion, but as I later understood it, but I was desperate enough to try it. And what I was really killing was my understanding of my higher power. My higher power is not offended by my occasional fits of atheism. It, not in the least, doesn't care, loves me nonetheless, or my doubts or my worries. But I know that because I go to meetings, because I get calls from sponsees every day, because I call my sponsor, because I write, because I make calls, and I receive lots of calls. I do my best to keep anonymity. We're not a secret society. If this wasn't being recorded, I would gladly share my last name, and privately afterwards, if anyone wants my number, I'll be happy to share it. We're not a secret society, but we are anonymous because it's not all about how wonderful David is. It's how wonderful the program is, how wonderfully well it works. Let me just say that a big part of my spiritual maintenance is service. I have been told that and it's somewhat embarrassing, I have been told I have the soul of a servant, and I had to, like, when someone told me that, I had to, like, excuse me a minute while I, you know, fix my face, and it is a real honor and a privilege to serve in this way, not something I thought I was even interested in, and only something that happened after I was out of the food and onto this path for the long term, for the long haul, no matter what, no matter whether mom died 3 years ago, whether I end up in the hospital 8 years ago, eight years ago, still on the path. So thanks for letting me share.
In summary, what we would like to share with you is that maintenance is merely a transition into another phase of our program. It is an end goal in a way, but it should never end. It is an ongoing thing that you have to constantly be aware of and constantly use everything the program has to offer us, because that's what keeps us here. So we would like to invite anyone who would like to come up and share. If you do speak, please sign your name on the release form first. So if you have any questions or if you want to share anything, we have a few minutes still.
Good afternoon. My name is Beth. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Beth.
Hi. I don't know exactly what to say, but maintenance is a wonderful growth opportunity. I had been in previous food programs, and so when I came to see how in 2011 I was at maintenance weight, I mean, honestly, my highest weight was about 140 pounds, and now I'm 123, 100 and something, between 120 and 125. And I wanted to feel like, oh, I'm so good because I'm on maintenance and I get whatever maintenance foods. But the reality is maintenance is just a way of living. And I didn't experience a lot of the gradual weight loss. And I know different people experience the intensity of losing a lot of weight. And then when they get to maintenance, like, oh, now what? And I guess I've been on the now what for a lot of my journey. But the now what is I'm on this journey. And there's a great workshop earlier this morning talking about we're on the journey. We're not arriving to the journey. It's, you know, it's a process. And I think it's really important to just accept where we are in the moment. My recent experience about adding or subtracting food was recently, about 2 weeks ago, I started to feel really hungry. And I weighed myself and I noticed, oh, maybe I'm a pound or two lower, which I've been pretty consistent for several years. And so I'm like, huh, wonder that hunger. And my sponsor was like, well, no, you can't. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm taking a weightlifting class and I should be able to add more food and I'm going to die. And she's like, Beth, no. you know, our maintenance plan says if you're 5 pounds below your goal weight, and I was 121 or 120, and my goal weight in my head was 125. And she's like, well, where'd you get your goal weight? And I'm like, oh, I just made it up. I think that's the right number. And she's like, well, have you seen a doctor? I'm like, yeah, probably, but no doctor's really said, Beth, your goal weight's 125. And so I was trying to justify eating more and fearing I was going to die and all that stuff. And the reality of what's, it was great to have that opportunity. I struggled with it for a little bit, but peel back those layers, what was really happening and, you know, the fears and the insecurities and whatever reasons that I was hungry physically. I mean, there's no right or wrong. There was definitely some physical hunger, but there's also no emotional stuff. And the fear of not enough, you know, whether I would get more food or not, it wasn't going to be right away. And I did end up going to my doctor because I happened to have an appointment a week later. And she's like, yeah, I think you should add a protein to your lunch because you are losing a little weight and you are exercising a little more. Ultimately, I don't think it's because of more exercise, because I've done exercise ever since I started program. Was the good news is I've been feeling better. Like, I've struggled with chronic fatigue and really had to sleep a lot on the weekends. And now that more of my chronic fatigue is alleviated of sorts, I'm busier and I'm more active, and therefore just a general lifestyle change. So who knows how long I'll keep this extra food, but then the addict in me is like, oh my gosh, I'm going to gain weight if I have this extra protein, and who knows? God is in control. Higher power is in control. And we make good use of medical professionals in this program, and so it's been a good opportunity because I've had many different maintenance medical food plans, and some I've added stuff, some I've subtracted stuff, and the important piece that I'm learning is trust my higher power and don't fear enough or not enough, and its maintenance is definitely a journey. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth.
Hi, I'm Shannon, the compulsive eater.
I
actually have a question for the panel. So thank you very much for your service and sharing your different experiences. One issue that I have struggled with is getting too thin in maintenance. And I was wondering, I would like for you to share if you have any experiences with that or sponsoring people. When I first started maintenance about 10 years ago, my initial goal weight kind of came and went. I blew right past it. I had to add a lot of food, and it was very stressful. And now, because I exercise, I find it's a real balancing act. And when my weight drops too low, it's very upsetting to me. And I think I'm going to starve to death, even though that's not going to happen. So how do you balance that particular issue if you have experience with that?
I'm David, a compulsive eater. Thanks for your question. One thing that I think I heard from somewhere else, or maybe I made it up, I won't die before my next meal. I can operate on this principle for the rest of my life, and I'll only be wrong once. So when I first hit maintenance, I thought I should be, my maintenance target was 175 in my mind. I shot past that and was down. My initial maintenance was 168. And I had to eat a lot of food to stay at 168 and not to go lower than that. And I could take a lot of weight, a lot of food. And I didn't exercise much at all. And one of the things in maintenance, and particularly long-term maintenance, is you get older. And things slow down. And so I had to let go of not all of it by any means, but quite a bit of it. And then I changed sponsors about a year and a half ago, and he said, "Oh, that's too much protein for you." It's like, and so, okay. But there was a little, I have sponsored a variety of people, some who are, I am 54, and I've sponsored very athletic guys who are, who are taller than me. I'm 6'1", and I think the one I'm thinking of is at least 6'5". Very athletic, and just gets to put away a whole bunch of stuff. And he needed to maintain a certain look for his work. And that was a little crazy making for us both. But, you know, reach out to medical professionals, which neither of us are, if there are underlying health conditions that require more frequent meals than that a doctor can say that you're diabetic or you have low blood sugar and need to eat smaller meals more often, which may mean that you don't get any more net food, but it's just chopped up into smaller things. I'm so great. I have been on medical abstinence for a little bit. The surgery I mentioned, I had it a little over 2 years of abstinence. I had a intestinal blockage, which is, I can't recommend it. And I was in the hospital, and the good news is I didn't die. I could have died from it. I also didn't lose any of my intestine, which would have been hard because then food is no longer digested in the same way, and it's not your pal like it used to be. But I was intubated, and I didn't eat anything for 6 days while I was in the hospital. They were pumping me full of fluids, and I gained weight. And it was like, why? Why? So Now I lost what that had to do with your question, but you will be okay. I have every faith.
Hi, everybody. I'm Shelley, bulimic compulsive eater in recovery.
Hi, Shelley.
And I want to apologize for coming in late. And from what I've heard, it sounds like it's a brilliant, brilliant workshop. And maintenance is tricky, you know. I came into program and my goal weight was 124. And I was smoking. And so I stopped smoking. And because of that, I know my disease. And so I changed my food plan around so that I would have success. And my weight now is like 110, 109 pounds. So it varies. And I'm very athletic. And recently I've had a little injury in my back, and my weight hasn't changed, but I'm not moving as fast as I was. But, I'm feeling better. And the only thing that I felt spiritually that I needed to say was, for me, and you may have said this, I find for me that the maintenance questions are so important, not only the maintenance questions, but also the step-up ceremony for maintenance. It's a beautiful ceremony, and I really encourage you. But I do a sponsorship workshop, and I really push people to, you know, as it says in the Forever Abstinence, it says long-term recovery depends upon working the steps of this program. And so I encourage everybody to work all the steps of this program. And you know what? Some of us lose faster and some of us lose slower, but work the steps. You know, work the steps, and, I want to do whatever I can because this disease will kill me. You know, without this disease, I am crazy. Without this program and the 7 tools, I am out of my mind. I am a member of the No Matter What Club. You know, I don't know what tomorrow's going to be, but this is the way, you know, I believe right now. And I'm just grateful to be here. And hopefully that helps somebody.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I also wanted to share my experience on maintenance. And what I mean, when I came in to CEA, how my physical part of recovery came very quickly. It only took me 4 months, and I had lost the weight. But my emotional part and my spiritual part were way behind. And because of that, maintenance was very scary to me. And I didn't even realize that it was scary to me. I didn't even know that I was a person that had fears. I didn't think that at all. But I was in program, and as I just said, in 4 months, the physical part came about. And I was in, and I only came to CEA HAL because I wanted to lose weight. I did not understand the emotional and the spiritual part would come, and that I would have so much more. I certainly wasn't hearing about the promises in my mind. I mean, I heard it, but I didn't hear it. And one evening, and I was going to 5 meetings a week I was attending the first year because I needed help so much. I was not a happy person. So one evening at one of those meetings that I was attending, I heard that my life was going to change. And I thought, what are they talking about? And who are they talking about? I certainly didn't think they were talking about me because I was so unhappy. How could my life change? And I couldn't wait till I got home. I rushed home. I ran into the house. I saw my husband, and I said to him, "Am I different?" And he said to me, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I just came home from a meeting, and I heard them say that I was going to change and I was going to have a different life and I was going to be a different person. Am I different? And he said, yes, you are. And I was thinking really quickly in my brain and I said, what does he know? And then our son had come over for the evening and I thought, well, I'm going to go ask him. And so I found my son in another room and I said to him, just came home from a meeting. I said, they said my life was going to change and I was going to be a different person. So am I different? And he started laughing. And I said, no, tell me, please, am I different? And he said, like night and day. And I said, what do you mean? He said, when I used to come over to visit, I never knew what mood you were going to be in. I never knew if you're going to be yelling and carrying on. And I'm thinking, me yell? Me? Quiet me? And he said, and I never knew if you were going to be crying and upset or whatever. He says, now I come over and I know how you're going to be. And he said, what a change. And I said, thank you, thank you. And I say thank you to my higher power, and I say thank you to the fellowship, and thank you to this program for changing my life, and for me finally starting to catch up with the emotional and the spiritual. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm Diana, compulsive eater.
Hi, Diana.
And I want to thank the panel so much. I'm not currently at maintenance. I had maintenance, and I also got maintenance in like about 4 months. And I, physical, and then there were a lot of promises in emotional and spiritual growth, a lot. But I love, there's so much that you guys, each of you said. And the beauty is that, well, I remember as a child always wanting to continue to grow and educate myself. And I just remember looking at adults that, to me, appeared, never stopped growing and learning. And I wanted that for myself. And now that I'm an adult, it's like, that takes a lot of work to keep growing and learning. And like you said about, you know, you ask God to give you strength and he gives you things to carry. But you all remind me that we never stop growing and we never stop. Well, we can stop growing. I can stop growing when I start growing this way, when I start burying myself in the food. And one of the things also that I recognized as one of you was writing, I mean, it was just a by the way sort of thing. I know it's one of the tools, but many times I remember what was part of my losing my abstinence was not sponsoring enough. And people do come and go, so, you know, it wasn't necessarily my fault. I lost sponsees, but I could have been more aggressive about signing up on the bridge meetings and saying, I'm an available sponsor, hire me now, because I need you more than you need me. You know, I could have been more aggressive about getting more sponsees and taking on more responsibilities, having more weight to carry. That way. And by the way, before I forget, I want to just say, earlier on I thought I should get up and say this. So Diana, this is to your future self, so I'm going to go back and listen to this recording, because right now as I'm struggling to get more daily reprieves in a row, and it's really not about getting back to my maintenance weight. This weight can be fine. It can be fine. But it's the mental and the spiritual and the serenity and changing, you know, where your husband and your kids notice. And that's, I want to go back to being that person that was happier and a lot freer, not only from the obsession of food, but I could obsess on a lot of different things and things on people, about people, and things, you know, whatever. I can get obsessive and compulsive. And the food is not a relief from that. It's just going to make it worse. And only this program will give me the remedy. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Katie. Compulsive eater. Thank you. I just want to say thank you because I had a goal weight. I got to it in 90 days. I have 6 months of abstinence now. And I don't know. I still feel scared a little bit because we weigh every week, and or I weigh every week, and I'm way below what my goal weight was, and I don't like adding food. I don't know. That's kind of weird, probably, but I would rather eat less because I just feel like we have so much. Like I don't want more food, and I have had to add it because I'm dropping still, and I don't exercise. And I feel almost embarrassed. Not that I'm embarrassed. I don't want to make anyone upset, but because I know I would be irritated in the past if people got to eat more. So I don't know. I really thank you because hearing what you guys said about, you know, what you said about you got to your weight at whatever time that you did, or you, you know, you had to eat less or you had to eat more. I have to eat more. I just don't want to eat more. So I don't know, but I also know I'm aging, so that'll probably change again too. So, but I just do appreciate everything, and then I also like hearing about the spiritual because all I thought about was the physical. I didn't think about the spiritual and the emotional, but I'm sure that's not uncommon either. So I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm so grateful to be abstinent. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
I would like to address this phenomenon of actually being able to lose more weight than we thought we could. It's a similar situation like what David was saying, that when you weigh yourself, your head can explode. That happened to me. Like I said, my doctor had put me up at a slightly higher weight as my goal weight. And I mentioned this to my sponsor. Well, when we finally got to be within the 5 pounds, before we could talk about the maintenance program part, and I was weighing myself when I was supposed to, I went through so many emotions because I too wasn't quite, I was growing in the emotional and the spiritual maintenance as well, but I still wasn't there. 1 week, I'd still lose like 1 pound, and that made me happy. The next week, I didn't lose any weight at all. And God, that depressed the heck out of me because, man, I was getting these adrenaline highs constantly. You know, first of all, you're only allowed to weigh once a month, and then when you get to the maintenance, you get to do it once a week. Well, I was just the opposite of most compulsive eaters. I didn't weigh myself constantly like a lot of people do. In fact, I threw the scale away. If I didn't weigh myself, then it didn't happen. You know, I wasn't gaining weight because I wasn't weighing myself. So I started losing weight, and I got what I felt was an unhealthy weight. I felt too skinny. I didn't feel well. I saw rib cages. I never saw rib cages before, you know. So that's the one good thing about our program book and having a sponsor, you know. We have the guideline. It has recommended amounts of food to have for your height, okay? Well, when I was 226 pounds, I was a big boned woman. Now that I'm a normal size person, I'm a normal size bone. It's okay, you know? In fact, someone called me petite the other day, and no one's ever done that before. It was really cool. But every once in a while, when I get on certain projects and I'm much more active than I usually can be, I can drop almost 10 pounds, and it is scary. That's where the sponsors come in, really, that they're really important, because my first thought was, I need more food, I'm going to die, or I'm going to get too skinny, and I don't want to get ill there. And my sponsor says, we're going to add a little bit at a time. And we added a little bit of protein and vegetables. And I couldn't do another thing for 2 weeks. I gained some weight. We added just a tiny bit more. 2 weeks later, I got to my maintenance weight. Then I started gaining weight. So we took away one of the things I had. 2 weeks later, I weighed. I stayed at my maintenance weight. She says, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to take away that extra piece, or do you want to leave it alone? I said, let's give it 2 more weeks. So we did it 2 more weeks, and I stayed at my maintenance weight. So we kept it there for about 4 months. Then I gained just a tiny bit at a time. So we took that piece away. And that's when I became stable for 3 years in a row, you know. So that's why we need sponsors, because I would have scared myself, because I was at least 10 pounds below what I'm right now. I would have eaten myself out of the house if I had thought I was going to die from being too skinny. So this is a good guideline for us, but it's not what it's going to be necessarily. That's why we have sponsors, and that's why we have to trust our higher power. But we're not going to die from lack of food, and our program is so balanced that we're going to be in good shape. But we do also have to realize and accept the fact that our bodies are going to vacillate back and forth and back and forth. We want to stay at our maintenance weight, of course. But if I didn't have my spiritual and my emotional maintenance in the way it is, I would have gone over the deep end. And I'm glad I didn't. I was able to willingly surrender to my sponsor, to my higher power, every time I needed to. And it's an ongoing thing. It is a weekly thing for me to surrender if I have to. I haven't had to until recently, but it happens. It happens. Life happens to us, and our bodies change. But we just have to have trust in our higher power. Thank you.
I want to thank you all. You've been a great audience. It helps us in our recovery, Lorraine and David and myself. I hope it helps you too to be here and sharing this. And let's go on. Let's go to some more workshops. Let's share some more fellowship. And it's been great being here. Thank you.